back to Dolphinville Radio. This is your host, Dolphinus, Douglas Dolphinus. And we are having another experiment in time and space here today with Joan Ocean as our guest. Joan's been with us for the last 8 programs. This will be her 8th show. And that's an incredible bank of information that she's been putting out and offering everybody. I hope you realize that you can listen to these shows later on. Joan has them posted on her website, accessible through joanocean.com, and of course we'll be having them here on dolphinville.com. What I will do is be moving some of these archival files to just the members only area, so if you're interested in hearing some of these through the Dolphinville website, I encourage you to sign up and become a member, and then you can talk to other people, hundreds of us that are sitting around and talking all kinds of nice dolphin stories, talking dolphins. Welcome to beautiful Lemurian landscapes with healing turquoise seashores here, the Big On of Hawaii. We gather here to celebrate. We celebrate a new notion, a new nation, a cetacean nation, and a galactic federation coming together. These are powerful energy waves that have been pouring over the island the last week. A big storm with giant, beautiful surfing waves coming in, turning all of our shores to white turquoise energies. I had the privilege of sitting in a scalar wave bioelectric generator this weekend. I'm telling you, I'm still feeling tingly from that. New spiritual technologies are coming in. And Joan and I yesterday were able to listen to another incredible mind who lives here in the community, Nassim Hierman, who's a hyperdimensional physicist. He's got new science theory that provides another tier to Einstein's unified field equations. I know, that's a mouthful. Einstein, yes, he's the guy, but there is life beyond Einstein, and Nassim has actually illustrated a new model for the universe as a spiral matrix in motion. It's amazing, and he's backing it up with hard science, so showing us another way, another tier of consciousness coming in. One of the cool things about his show yesterday, and Joan and I were looking at it with interest as he was demonstrating how crop circles were giving beautiful fractal images that demonstrate his theory of the spiral matrix, the surrounded infinity within a field. But today we're going to be turning our attention to some of these liquid consciousness ideas, allowing information to flow through us with no resistance, no struggle, looking at a new way of thinking and being. And we're going to start to look at what it would be like to actually have ET presence as part of our everyday waking consciousness, allowing them to be part of us. And that's what these programs have been about, leading us up to. Joan is going to bring us into those waves with information today and then top it off with another beautiful meditation. Last week's meditation still feels warm and fuzzy inside of me, and I hope some of you have heard it, remember how beautiful it is. Joan, welcome back to our show. It's great to have you again. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Douglas. That's beautiful. I love the way you introduced the program and me. It's very nice. And I was thinking as you were speaking that today is also the day we remember Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
That's true.
Yeah, what a wonderful man. As I was leaving the house to come here to the studio, Rosalind reminded me of that. And so we thought, wow, what a wonderful day to have ET contact, because that's what we're doing today. And we really, I know, I was always very moved by Dr. Martin Luther King, and we really honor him today, this inspiring man. He was such a humanitarian, a prophet, who lived on earth with us for a while. So we remember his words, I have a dream, yeah. I have a dream.
And dream time is very much a part of what we're talking about here.
Yeah. And that's it. I have a dream that all people of all races will come together in peace. And I have a dream that all people of all planets will shine their light as one. So, yes, I have a dream, and I admire his dreams, and we are one.
Amazing, yes. So, before we get into your presentation, I just want to acknowledge Photon.net is our sponsor, broadcaster for this. Bringing Dolphinville Radio live to you all over the planet, and the archives are provided as well through Photon. So thank you, Randy Barris, founder and operator here, for his web hosting providing service. And without further ado, let's move into Joan's material. It's going to be an exciting day. So
yes, I'm very excited to be meeting with everyone this afternoon, this evening. We've really been preparing for this for the past couple of months. probably even for years and decades. It seems to me so important for citizens of Earth, with no hidden agendas and representing the best of humanity, the goodness of the human race, to make contact with the star people. And many of us, I know, have already said yes to our ET friends. And I can tell you that our lives have gone from wonderful already to even more exceptionally exciting and fulfilling. So you see, saying yes to these loving friends who are part of our future is another way to say yes to ourselves, to say yes to our own spiritual growth and advancement, to say yes to an advanced life of using much more of our potentials, our abilities, and our love. Have you ever gone to a seminar where it was so inspiring, so satisfying, and it gave you so many new thoughts and ways to improve your life, and so it was very valuable to you? Well, to me, this is what it means to have this contact with these wonderful beings of light. You could think of it as the best workshop you ever attended, because it leads to so many new and exceptional experiences in your personal life, so many wonderful changes. So it's a very good thing and a very thoughtful thing to think about the needs of Earth and about helping humanity and improving the political and environmental situations on Earth. And these things will happen. But what you'll notice first and right away with our ET contact is the wonderful, clear, new direction of your own life into the paths you've always wanted, able to do the projects that will make your heart sing. So I get really excited knowing how people's lives will change in new and loving ways. I've seen it happen often. And I said yes to the ETs after I received this most recent communication that's posted on my website, and it was a reminder to me that it was time now, time to take a stand and to make the commitment to expand my cosmic life. So to acknowledge and really get to know the rest of who I am, really the greater part of myself, because who we know ourselves to be in a physical body here on planet Earth is really a very small part of who we really are. So we want to move out of the small little reality on Earth and claim citizenry as galactic residents and move into that larger world. So when I received the transmission from them, and people all around the world did also, I wanted to follow their suggestions and say yes with great sincerity and deep love. And everything good has followed since then. I feel very healthy, very clear-minded and alert, extremely happy, doing exactly what I love, which is ET contact, no surprise. I have so much high energy. I have every material need provided. Business is even thriving. Friends seem closer. Friendships are deeper. The dolphins and the whales are even more interactive. And I'm experiencing new realities all around me. I can see things that I never saw before. I feel as though I'm in a state of grace. And I guess you could call it high awareness. Life has expanded to a most joyful, inspiring daily experience. And I just can't wait to jump out of bed each day and see what's in store for me. So it's kind of like being with a new pod of wonderful dolphins. I often tell people that before dolphins, or before the cetaceans, so we call it here BC, I was a kind of a restless soul in that I would change my work a lot. I would learn one type of work, a new field of work, and then after 2 or 3 years of doing that, I'd grow bored with it and move on to learn another new field of work. And this was fine. It was stimulating for me, but it always kept me moving. I would usually change locations with the new work, and I didn't really have a long-term community to surround me with friends and warm gatherings. And that's something I enjoy here so much. And then I met the dolphins and the whales. And they were so fascinating, so filled with new wisdom and new concepts and suggestions, that I was happy to spend each day with them, being inspired and amused. They have such great senses of humor, and playful and laughing, and myself feeling so agile in the water, experiencing their sounds, and being changed physically by them, learning how to heal and to help other people. And now, after more than 20 years, I'm still fascinated by their intelligence. I mean, it's so fulfilling to have this experience with them. Well, that is how it is now, but now we're going another level up, so to speak. Since I decided to go into these new waters, or into the unknown environment, into unknown realms, and meet the ET civilizations, I am having so much fun. My life is filled with wonderful experiences and warm friendships and inspiring projects. And so I mention this because this is really what is about to happen for all of us, and it is what happens when we decide to move beyond fear or anything that would hold us back. This is what happens when we say yes to life and to ourselves. So, I know I don't really have to explain this very much to those of you who have already been swimming with the dolphins and have seen the amazing changes that occur after that experience. And especially the podners, as we call each other, the podners who live here and who came here to swim with the dolphins and swim with them day after day. I just feel so good knowing that you are joining me now, just as you joined the dolphins and benefited from their advanced wisdom and joy. And so here we are, about to take another step into our next level of fulfillment and wisdom. And we are so fortunate to be alive right now. I give thanks every day. What a wonderful thing to be a part of this planet's ascension process as we all become lighter and lighter. And of course, it makes me so happy to know we share this experience together. So this is the year 2004. And I realize that 2004 is the 20-year anniversary of Dolphin Connection, of when the dolphins and whales made contact with me. Before that, I had listened to their recorded sounds with my friend John Lilly. But it was really in 1984 that they spoke to me personally during a meditation in Belmont, California. And that they shape-shifted into the body, you could say, of an unknown, of a person I didn't know yet. A very wonderful, visionary artist known as Jean-Luc, who came knocking on my front door. And there they were, the dolphins incarnated. And there he was, and I didn't even know how to swim. So that was 20 years ago. And from the very beginning, the dolphins communicated to me their reasons for becoming more visible to people on Earth, swimming close to shore and meeting people in the water. They knew they were here to resonate love and harmony, to assist the Earth in that way, and to assist the light workers as well. And they knew they were here to meet in the ocean with people, aware people, to amplify loving frequencies and encourage podliness. As we know, podliness is next to godliness. And now many people are meditating and swimming with the dolphins, working with them in this compassionate outpouring of love for the good of Earth. And then the dolphins also told me they are here to prepare humanity for contact with galactic communities. And so, as we learn to love and respect the strange-looking, kind of strange-looking ocean inhabitants called dolphins and whales, we also learn to accept other off-planet, multidimensional civilizations. The dolphins are not original inhabitants of Earth. They come from elsewhere originally, as I've mentioned in my book, Dolphins into the Future. And as we learn to value their wisdom and loving essence, we learn to discern similar vibrational frequencies among other extraterrestrials. So this is a great service the dolphins and whales have performed. And I know I am very grateful for their wake-up call. So now the time has come. Today, if you haven't done this already, to welcome another group of ETs onto planet Earth. And again, because of our love for the dolphins, we will recognize these light beings who are waiting for us to put out the call. And we will feel their essence and remember our deep connection to their ancient cultures, their wisdom and compassion. And they will share their loving and fascinating multidimensional worlds with us. So I was thinking about the number of people, many people come to me and tell me they've found out that they were dolphins in past lives. And now, of course, many of us realize that we were ETs in past lives as well. So, welcome home.
We're being punished now that we're humans.
No, it's wonderful to be humans.
Better be a dolphin.
They do have a lot of fun, it's true. So, I'd like to share something about the definition of close encounters. I didn't get a chance to share this with you last week, and this is information about different types of extraterrestrial encounters, as we have known them and defined them on planet Earth. So among the researchers who are here investigating ET communication, there are four types of sightings that are considered close encounters. There is the close encounters of the first kind. And the first kind is considered a sighting of an extraterrestrial vehicle that is within 500 feet of you. That's the first kind. And then the category called close encounters of the second kind is when you see a mark, a landing mark or a trace, some sort of a physical evidence that's left by a UFO, perhaps a mark on the grass, something like that. And then close encounters of the third kind, and of course this was popularized by Steven Spielberg in his film by that name. And this is when we sight a humanoid or a life form, an ET, usually in association with a spacecraft. And then close encounters of the fourth kind was determined to be when someone actually visits a spacecraft, goes aboard. So, my friend Stephen Greer of CSETI, he is also working with close encounters of the fifth kind. He and his assistant, who was working with him, Sherry Adamak. And the close encounters of the fifth kind, this is the first type of all the different types that's not passive. Because in the others, numbers 1 to 4, we're participating in the ET's overtures to us. But in the fifth type, humans take the initiative and, in a cooperative spirit, attempt to initiate with or have some sort of exchange with these ET life forms, with their spacecraft, the occupants on board. And by taking the initiative, just by doing that, we let the ETs know that we have reached a point of maturity where we are willing to end our denial and step into a place of empowerment, where we will say we are capable of communicating with you, and we wish to communicate with you, from our minds and our hearts to you. So the star beings have already let us know that we are not alone, and they are here. And it is now our responsibility to take the next step and say hello back to them.
Mm-hmm. I remember one of your early seminars, one of the things you would have people and participants do was to recall our childhood when looking up in the sky. We all, as kids, grew up and would find different things, Orion's Belt or the Big Dipper. And my own attraction was always attracted to this little thing that I used to call the Dinky Dipper. And I had always looked, where is that? Where's the Dinky Dipper? And much later I found out that it's called Pleiades. And I thought that was curious because it's almost as if we're looking for some kind of connection or feeling a connection to the vasts of space. I've also felt myself as a dolphin in former existences, or maybe just so closely associated with those entities that you're absorbing, as you say, with X when you go into his consciousness. Maybe there's an exchange of consciousness and we're sharing histories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really kind of amazing. I know that there's a lot of different stories and many, many different testimonies as to the current ET presence on this earth. And so the proof is there. I mean, it's not emphatic.
Yeah.
The White House hasn't had they have, but not that we can, not that they'll advertise whenever anything significant happens, we don't hear about it. But mm-hmm. on a personal level, many, many people are experiencing these things.
Right, yeah. And speaking of that, you saw the Pleiades. I realized I used to see Venus a lot. The Venus is so bright in the sky, especially in the evening sometimes. And yeah, I focused on that star a lot, that planet. So... Right, yeah, there's really no fundamental difference between people on Earth and people on other planets, except that we're kind of in different stages of evolution. So we're really all in this vision quest or this spiritual quest for more and more light as we evolve toward the source of all light and love. So the star brothers and sisters that we are talking to today or tonight, they are our equals and our friends, and they always make that point very clear. Physically, they appear somewhat different from people on Earth, you know, the same way the dolphins do. But mostly, the ETs are our people. They're mostly humanoids, the ones that I'm in contact with. And they are conscious beings, just like we are. And... right now, I mean, many people have already said yes to the ETs, and many people are having sightings, and we realize that our ET friends are close to us already, right now. But many people don't see them, and it's sometimes a bit of a frustration, people who want to see them so much, and they say, I've never had a sighting. And I wonder about that sometimes, because I think you may have had a sighting, and perhaps not recall it or not been able to identify it for what it was. But the ETs do know how to remain invisible when needed to be. They don't want to startle people who aren't ready to see them. But they do have advanced knowledge about dematerialization and materializing again, and it's a very natural part of their scientific studies. And when they mentioned that to me, how they're very careful about not startling anyone, it reminded me of the dolphin behavior, too. We see that over and over here, how thoughtful the dolphins are of swimmers. When people get in the water the first time, and maybe they're not good swimmers, or they're a little uneasy when they first see the dolphins, well, the dolphins often keep their distance from swimmers who are afraid of them, waiting until the people are ready. And the whales will do that, too. So they wait for us to initiate the contact And then they come in very close, of course. So our star being friends have had contact with many advanced people on Earth who interact with them through visual, auditory, and intuitive methods. But for some people who have not witnessed the ETs themselves, well, they have some difficulty believing in the existence of another galactic society. So it's always interesting to me to see what happens when a group of people get together to speak openly about our ET friends. It's always very insightful for everyone because people begin to remember, just from hearing other people's stories of what have happened, then other people start to remember maybe they did have contact after all. So our star friends understand that this still kind of new idea about contact can be hard for some of us. And so because of that, they're making more and more connections with people individually and making connections with small groups and in very gentle ways and yet very obvious ways. And some of what they do is to give people signs in the sky and also very meaningful channeled messages. So many people are receiving wonderful information now that's helpful for all of us. So my experience of the star beings is that they're really touching my heart and mind with profound wisdom and love. And once we meet the star friends in a meditation or through an intuitive contact, all of a sudden we realize how natural it is and how familiar it feels. And then our memories begin to awaken and we feel our connection to the stars. And we feel their love for us, and we also feel our love for them. So, of course, meditation is helpful for this. It brings us in contact with them, and it helps us to remember why we incarnated on Earth. And really, it was to be here for this wonderful time of transition and contact. So, I'm mentioning some of this because the ETs felt it was important for me to just remind everyone out there that they're not trying to disrupt our everyday lives in any way. They totally respect our free will. But if we would like to bring about some peaceful and rather brilliant new processes on Earth, then they're offering us this opportunity. And so it seems that the opportunity for the ETs to make this kind of physical contact occurs in certain cycles of time, if you're thinking of the cosmos. And in one way, there's never really any hurry as far as universal time goes. We have all the time we need. But apparently right now, in these next few months, there is a window in time when the ETs can come onto the Earth plane very easily. And it is a special time on the Earth when their frequencies can resonate with ours. So they are responding right now to our calls for assistance from them. And that's really the only reason they're even offering this contact. So at some point in time, we've always known that humanity would meet with the galactic civilizations. And so it's really time now for us to make this decision, to choose it, to decide it. And it seems to me it would be just wonderful to have it occur now. Why not now, while we're here? So we have nothing to lose, nothing to fear, because we are in a place of love. And these ET friends, they can appear in broad daylight and meet with us. So, aren't you curious? I'm so curious and I'm so excited. I love to see groups of people with groups of our star friends and see them together. I love to see that with the dolphins. Sometimes when I'm staying on the boat and I see snorkelers swimming with the dolphins and people are all together. You see the dorsal fin, you see the snorkel. And they're side by side. It's very touching for me, playing together in the ocean. So really, it's time for us now to expand into these new worlds of art, ET art, ET science and technology, creativity, cultural exchanges. So our ET friends are responding to our awakening and our call to them in the same way the dolphins did.
With that, let's just sort of take a little breather here and listen to Andrew Forrest take us out into the starseed streams. We'll be back in a few. Starseed. Highly recommend it. Something you can find on the Dolphinville gift store. At least link it up if you're interested in hearing the full batch of his music. Incredible stuff. We're talking with Joan, of course, and she's bringing in some wonderful information about experiences with the ETs. I know one of the things that I often hear from concerned ecologically minded people about people, they ask about what could the dolphins possibly benefit from people swimming with them? And my answer is, well, to start off with, we'll start killing them and enslaving them and destroying the oceans around them, maybe as a first thing up, if we begin to realize that they are intelligent, sentient beings. And it does lead to the question, what will our Earth civilization benefit from the arrival of ETs?
Right, yeah. That's, you know, today we're going to do the meditation later on in the program to say yes to the ETs, all those who would like to. And so that's why we want to look at some of this now. And how will Earth civilization benefit? Well, in that transmission from the ETs, I wanted to go over some of that today. And they say the following. These are some of the ways that your civilization will benefit. We will show you a more holistic vision of the universe and of life. And I really want to see that. I'm so interested in that. And they will be inspiring constructive interactions and relationships between people, between countries, between planets. They will share useful, liberating technical knowledge with us. And they say that they will bring an end. There will be an end. Their presence will bring an end to all suffering. They will advise us on the use of our inherent powers, helping us to use them more fully for the good of humanity. and help us to access new forms of energy, perhaps what we know of as free energy. And also they will be able to share with us their understanding, a greater understanding of consciousness. So they go on to say that what they cannot do is help us to overcome our individual and collective fears, and this we have to do ourselves. So only we can work on ourselves. And they remind us that it really is our innate right to live in a world of peace and harmony with cooperation among all people. This is really our right to have freedom of choice and movement on planet Earth, and to express ourselves and use our creative abilities freely, and to really know what's really going on in our world, what's the truth of what's happening, to have no more secrecy. And it reminds me, again, of living like dolphins, freely, joyfully, in a community of kindred spirits, where we would choose to work individually and collectively to build the world that we desire. So meeting them, it's kind of like a vision quest or a great pioneering adventure into new horizons, new ideas and projects.
Yeah, well, that's great vision for what humanity may have in store for us if we open up the doors. But I guess it bodes the same question. What is it for them? What have they got?
Right, yeah. And I asked them about that, too. And mainly what comes across, and you know, it's interesting when you communicate with them because you feel what they're feeling when they communicate a thought or an idea. So they said they would benefit from our joy. And as they communicated that, I felt the joy. It was beautiful. The feeling of joy is divine. And they said, we would feel joy knowing that you are actualizing your potentials. We would rejoice because of the balance this would bring to the universe. So our expressing our joy and being in our joy would bring balance to the universe. They said they would also enjoy our cultural exchanges, learning from us, the things that we'll learn from each other. And I know, again, in communication with the dolphins said that humanity has developed technology that they, the dolphins, do not have. While the dolphins teach us about sensitivity to vibrational frequencies. And so the ETs can teach us about extra-dimensional frequencies. They're experts at this. And so as human beings, we have many wonderful gifts to share with these other cultures. Just our humanness in itself is wonderful. Our easy and natural way of caring for each other, our pets and our gardens, all the things we do on a daily basis. We have a great curiosity and a spirit of adventure. And I think they also enjoy our quick minds and our humor, our sense of humor. So the ETs continue to say, again, in that transmission, and this is a quote, your sincere, thoughtful request that we show up on your material planet and in physical reality in broad daylight is precious and essential to us. It is up to you to determine the future. It doesn't matter where you are, in the mountains, in the middle of a city, wherever. There are no rituals or ceremonies needed. A sincere request made with your heart and your own individual will be heard by those of us to whom it is sent, the Galactic Councils of Light. And so we are asking you this very intimate question. And that's the question, do you wish that we show up? It is your choice to say yes or no. and to do it immediately after asking the question. Do it as if you were speaking to yourself, but thinking about the message and feeling it as you respond. And again, this reminds me of something the dolphins explain about communicating with them, that when we feel genuine feelings of love and longing that comes up in us, this is the way our communication with them is heard and felt most deeply and strongly. So again, the ETs say, this is a universal question. Do you wish that we show up? And these mere few words, put in their context, have a powerful meaning. If you choose yes, then you will assist the Earth into galactic brotherhood sisterhood as a result of our appearance on your planet. And so they go on to say, again, it doesn't matter if you're a small group. A small number can radically change fate and influence the future of the majority of people on Earth. So they say that we as a group have the power to do this. And what would happen at the point we say yes? Well, the immediate result of a collective positive decision by people on Earth would be the materialization of many ships in your sky and on Earth. And for you on Earth, the direct effect would be the rapid changing of many beliefs that you have. Everything would be re-evaluated in a higher light. A simple, conclusive visual contact would have huge repercussions on your future. Much knowledge would be changed forever. The organization of your societies would be deeply modified in all fields of activity. You would change the scale of your values, letting your love shine through. Your values and understandings of world peace and harmony and cooperation would be experienced worldwide. The most important thing for us, star beings, is that humankind would form a single family in front of this kind of unknown that we would represent. They would be willing to be at peace with each other. And the ETs go on. We have the ability to instantaneously materialize at your request. Thousands of ships. Think about it and decide. Peaceful and respectful exchanges would be possible. For now, on your planet, those who are hungry cannot smile. Those who are fearful cannot welcome us. We are sad to see men, women, and children suffering to such a degree in their bodies and in their hearts when they bear such an inner light. This light can be your future. Our relationships could be progressive. Several stages of several years or decades would occur. There will be appearance of our ships, our physical appearance side by side with human beings, collaborations working together in your technical and spiritual evolution, new discoveries of parts of the galaxy. And in each of these instances, every time, new choices would be offered to you. And then you, on Earth, would then decide by yourself to cross new stages if you think it's necessary to your external and inner well-being. Nothing would be decided unilaterally. And at any time you would wish us to leave, we would do that. So they were reminding me that sometimes when we meditate or we say prayers or we call in the angels, that there are many beings that we're in contact with that are strictly energy in nature. But now we're making the decision to contact the galactic councils. And the difference is that they are able to materialize here, to actually be on the earth plane.
Well, I think a lot of us are ready for that, but tell me, why is it that they haven't completely materialized before now?
Right. Well, you know, it's really because they've been waiting for us to say yes.
Stop shooting at them.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. They say, let me see here what they went on to say about that. They said, how could you know whether our arrival is the consequence of your collective choice? Like people saying, well, are they arriving because we want them to? For the simple reason that we would have otherwise been already there for a long time at your level of existence. In other words, they haven't come onto the earth plane as yet. They've been waiting. Although they've been hovering around and present, they're waiting. And so if we're not there yet, it's because you have not yet made the decision explicit. So, again, they remind us that we, as people on earth, are the architects of our own fate. So do you wish that we show up? We will not come until you are sure you would really like to meet us.
I know that you're been opening yourself up to these things for a number of years, Joan, and you've had a wealth of experiences, but you know, can you give us some more of your experiences that you've had with the ET phenomenon?
Yes, well, you know, after this particular transmission was received last October, I decided to say yes personally and just to see what would happen. How would it be different? Because I've been in contact and I've received a lot of channeled messages. I have really boxes full of information, as I know many people out there do, and it's all wonderful, but I sense that this was a whole nother level now, this decision, and this international, really, ET message that was shared with people all around the world that, as far as I know, came in last September. And you remember that our community here met to discuss it and decide whether they were ready to say yes at that time. And it was really a wonderful meeting, very insightful, and with discussions and questions about it. And after that, during the next week, I met with a friend of mine who wasn't able to be there that evening. And so I was telling him about the ET message. And the minute he heard it, he said, well, I wouldn't hesitate. He said, I will say yes to their showing up right away. So we both agreed that we didn't have to wait for anything. And so we went up to the upper area of the ranch, the upper pasture, where I have this tent where I like to sleep at night. And we decided to meditate in the tent because it was quiet and private and just the animals around in nature, and to make contact and say yes. So we sat down in there, and it was really fast. I mean, as soon as we entered the silence, because, you know, we already had it on our mind. In a way, once you make that decision, they're right there. So we then affirmed out loud our willingness to meet the ETs who had contacted us, and we asked them to come very specifically. The asking seems really important.
This is out loud as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We asked them to come. And then we felt this communion, we felt contact. And what we experienced were these strong feelings of deep peace. And it was so immediate and so wonderful that both of us just spontaneously had tears of gratitude, really, that rolled down our faces. And we experienced so much love. And then an interesting thing happened, and I just remembered it now, actually. while we were sitting there, all of a sudden this huge wind entered the tent. I mean, it had been completely quiet outside. There was no wind, but this wind came and was shaking the tent, making the tent kind of noisy as it was flapping. It just came from nowhere. And then it subsided. And to me, it just felt like the presence of a nearby ship or a sign that they were there. And I've had experiences like this before, of a strong wind, where a wind comes to signify the approach of a ship or the presence of ETs. One time when I was on a field trip with CSETI, with Stephen Greer, and we were at Joshua Tree National Park in California. And we were sitting in a circle, as we do there, and we were making contact, and we were asking the ETs to come and give us a sign. And it's a beautiful place there, Joshua Tree, and it has these small trees and the Joshua trees all around. And all of a sudden, we all jumped because there was this loud noise, crack! And this tree right near us bent all the way down to the ground with a loud noise, and then went right back up again in place. What caused that? We have no... Well, I guess we know. But anyway, it wasn't anything that we
knew. Wasn't that a natural phenomenon like weather no. or wind that was
right.
doing it?
Right. And the tree wasn't damaged. It went back right back in place. And of course, we had each other as witnesses, or we would have said, what was that? So I took that as an interesting sign when that happened in the tent. So then my friend and I, we remained in silence, just experiencing the contact, and no words were spoken. And then that was when I experienced this really beautiful, beautiful sight, a lucid, a very real and present visual of a mammoth, a huge white, silver colored domed vehicle. I don't know what it was made of. It was just this most beautiful material with a silky smooth finish, very rounded surfaces, seamless. It was the kind of thing you'd want to touch if you could. It was this domed vehicle and no windows.
Now your property is next to a pasture land. Was this over the pasture land then that you're describing?
Yeah, it was right there. There are actually some fences there and there's trees there, but it was resting on the ground and the trees and the fences didn't obstruct it in any way. And we've learned that. I've learned that many times with encounter experiences, that the physical matter of objects can just merge with the composition of the ship, and they temporarily disappear. Then when the ship departs, everything is back the way it was before. So I could see it sitting there, and I experienced this deep feeling of peace and calm, and even an inner recognition, a big hello. And then... And again, this was in this vision. I turned my head to the other direction from where the ship was, and I saw many people, well, there were more than 100 people, that were standing kind of in a half circle, standing to my left, and they were looking at the ship. And they were like people I knew, all friends of the community, standing in this semicircle west of the ship and facing it. It was kind of like a still life photo. The ship was there, and the people were there, and no one was moving. They were just looking like with wonder at this ship that was like 2 football fields big. It was very large. And it just seemed like people were experiencing curiosity and awe, certainly some awe and maybe a little uncertainty that was coming from the group as they waited and wondered. And nobody took a step forward. And then, as I looked at the ship again, an arched doorway suddenly appeared in it that hadn't been obvious before. And it opened, and then 5 ET beings emerged from the archway. And they kind of matched the fabric of the ship. They were wearing these glowing silver-white bodysuits. And they were very delicate-looking beings. They had kind of long, thin arms, and they moved slowly, very gently. And they went just outside the craft, the spaceship, and they stopped there, and they just waited. And their heads were kind of down, their heads were bowed, and they had these soft eyes, very beautiful, looking at us gently, just kind of waiting, very relaxed. And so no one moved. It was like everything was just frozen in time for that moment. And I wondered what would happen. And then I saw a slight movement from the line of people. And I saw that it was the three donkeys and the horse who live on the land. And they broke through the line of people, and they were walking slowly directly to the ETs. And they walked right over to them and stood right before them, and they waited. And then I noticed that my little horse, the miniature horse, and the baby donkey nuzzled the ETs and then just kind of turned and stood quietly next to them. And after that happened, it seemed that the people, seeing that the donkeys and the horse were not afraid, then they began to move quietly and without hesitation to welcome the ETs. And it was very touching. It was a very heartwarming moment of coming together. Yes, that was a beautiful experience that we had that day.
Yeah, you've encountered that a couple of times. It brings such interesting, almost dreamlike memory to me. Maybe I was one of those standing in a line experiencing that at that time. I know the ranch has really brought in so much stuff. You moved yourself in a tent specifically so that you'd be outside to feel the subtle changes and shifts in the environment, the rustling of the leaves, the wind blowing through the tent, and looking up at the stars. You've got a few experiences that you've related. Can you give us some more examples of the things that you've experienced on the ranch?
Oh, yes. I'd love to talk about those. as you know, at one time I lived right on the ocean, right down by the bay there, and I lived there for 12 years, and that was when I was swimming every day from the shore with the dolphins. And then it was very clear when I received this message or this desire all of a sudden to move Malka, to go into the mountains. And I knew that it was time to make the contacts with these wonderful beings of light and to do it in a place where I could be more away from civilization and other people, where we'd have the privacy. So when we are up there at the ranch in our community or in a seminar, we usually have some music playing. We play music from outer space that's been recorded out there. And then we begin to go deeper and deeper. And in these group settings, it's so special because our love for each other as a group, and of course for all the local people, our love for our lives in these islands, we feel it so much. And so immersed in that love, we ask for contact and communication, and sometimes we ask for a sign in the sky, and sometimes we have projects we're working on, so we ask for ideas and inspiration. And how does it come to us? I know everybody usually wants to see a big ship appear, you know, a big UFO, and we have had those experiences. I remember one time there was a seminar that was meeting at the ranch, and we were all meditating with our eyes closed, and then someone must have opened their eyes and peeked out, because all of a sudden I heard a little voice saying, "They're here, they're here." And so we all stayed very quiet, and we opened our eyes, and we saw a perfectly shaped UFO in the sky. It was hovering there, and we all saw it. Except one person who didn't want to open his eyes, but everyone else saw it, and it was like a dark ship against a dark sky. But it was clearly visible to each of us. And then we began to remote view the people inside of it, and this is something I really recommend. You know, whenever you see a lenticular cloud that could be a ship or anything that looks like a UFO in the sky, just begin to remote view to see who's inside, who's there. Is it a field of energy? Are there beings inside? What message do they have? So on this particular night, it had been a very interesting evening, because I think we were getting a lot of lessons about how were already in contact once we set that intention. We had actually planned to be out in the field for this meditation, and all of a sudden it started raining. And this is something that can happen, you know, and you're set up, you've got the stereo out there, and you've got, you know, warm blankets around or things you don't want to get wet, and it starts raining. But I always know there's a reason for that, because I really feel that the ETs have control over clouds and weather and things like that and can create rain when they want to. I even have a friend who's a Native American Indian, and he can create rain whenever he wants to, over parts of his garden even. He's amazing. He can get it to rain. Oh, this part of the garden needs more water, and all of a sudden it's raining. When he was dating who's his wife now, he used to tease her she'd be out going for a walk in the woods, and he'd make it rain just over her head and things like that. So I've seen that happen in person here on the planet. I'm quite sure the ETs can have some connection with weather and water and make that happen too. So all of a sudden it's raining, and so we all went running inside the ranch, and we decided to continue the contact on a balcony. It was kind of the only place where we could lay out our sleeping bags and then lay on the deck and face up to the sky in that way, so we could be looking up. And it was there, while we were there meditating, that the ship revealed itself to us in the perfect place. I mean, it was like the only clearing in the sky between two big trees. So we were totally focused on that one area. So the reason I'm sharing this one is because it's really a good classical example of how the ETs assist us to have the sighting if we really want it. So it would appear that they knew that we would move to the only dry place with a view of the sky, and that was the place where we could see them. And so, as usual, it always works out perfectly. And so we began to communicate with them. And we felt great waves of love. It was, again, you know, like being with the whales. It's just this energy field that envelops you. It was very touching. And among us, there was one person who was an excellent healer and a channeler. And he just spontaneously began to speak aloud the messages that we were all receiving within. And it was really fascinating to hear the words being spoken out loud that were the same ones that we were receiving in our minds. And it was a very welcoming greeting and message about our coming together for friendship and for the good of the earth. So that was an example of when we actually saw the very kind of the type of UFO that you would expect to see, that I've seen in a lot of pictures from the Billy Myers photographs that were taken in Switzerland many, many years ago, and things such as that. But I really think that as you come closer and start to have more and more contact with these star beings, they're less inclined to keep you dependent on the physical manifestations. It's, again, like with the dolphins and whales. They're really encouraging us to expand beyond our five senses into using our sixth sense and beyond, and to trust our feelings and our intuition. I think that's really where they want us to go, and to learn we can do that. We can communicate with them in that way. We don't always need a sign, something physical. So when we meditate outside on the ranch, when it's not raining, which it rarely rains when we are gathering together for this purpose, we become aware of a cloud that's surrounding us. It just comes up. You can watch it coming, even watch it approaching. And it's very thick, and we feel its warmth. And if I had to say a color, I'd say it's golden white with a pink glow. And then we can no longer see each other sitting in the circle, because the cloud is so dense. So at this point, we're surrounded by the essence of the star beings. And we realize that their cloud ship has come down to surround us. It's come right over us. And so we are now inside the ship. And it's not really, on these occasions anyway, it's not really like seeing the inside of a Star Trek kind of ship. It's different than that. Usually these light vehicles are composed of light, and they travel as waves of light. And we're just immersed in this very high frequency. So again, it's about not getting too attached to physical matter. It seems to be in kind of an ongoing lesson for people on Earth. So they can manifest to us in many ways. And what do we feel? You know, what do we experience with these contacts? Well, we feel, can never say this word too much, we feel the overwhelming love. We feel just suffused in peace and contentment. There's like nothing else we have to do, no place else we want to go. We're totally content. We feel like we're at home. We've really come home. So those are the beautiful experiences that I like. But we do get a lot of signs, and I encourage people to go ahead and ask for signs. They don't mind giving you signs in the sky if it will help you, and if it's another way of communicating. Many times people see lights in the sky that are like brighter and bigger than ordinary stars, and they're stationary. I get a lot of reports of this. I remember, I think a couple of weeks ago, someone sent an email asking about the stars. This person saw flashing lights in the sky. And I think she was responding to my having said, I saw flashing lights sometimes. And it's true, what these look like, they look like flash bulbs. You won't see it, there's nothing there, it's just the black or midnight blue sky, and then all of a sudden, flash, a really bright light appears, just briefly, and then goes out. And if you keep looking in that same place, it flashes again, and then goes out. So it's nice because often you can call people's attention to it if you're the one who saw it the first time, and then everyone else can see the subsequent flashes. And we've seen this at the ranch on a number of occasions, and we see it pretty regularly when we are living on the boat with the whales in the Dominican Republic. And again, this is not a star, and it's not something that's moving like a satellite. It's just in place flashing. It's often, too, in response to our request for a sign. And then another way that the ETs let us know that they're there and they're showing us a sign, it's something that we call the falling leaf kind of behavior. We see a light in the sky that seems to be falling out of the sky. And it's not a shooting star or a falling star. It's not moving fast like that. But it's kind of drifting down in a spiraling motion. It's like going round and round. And you see, there's nothing, of course, out there in our sky that could behave that way. And so they realize that that's a good way to say hello to us. So, you know, they often will think of unique ways to make contact. Many times people see colors. They see lights that are moving in different directions, making a letter H or just moving in ways that stars would not be doing. And I think, too, what's really fascinating is there are a lot of star formations in the sky that we see. A lot of stars that form into triangles or to geometric shapes or to round patterns, sometimes in a circle. And they kind of stand out. You know, you're looking at the whole sky, you see all the different constellations, and you know many of them, you see what's up there, and all of a sudden there's a different one that's unusual. And I know there are a lot of stars up there that make a triangle in the sky, but sometimes we'll be up there and there are so many of them. It's like the entire sky is filled with these triangular star shapes. And interestingly, again, I keep bringing up Stephen, but when we're out there with CSETI and on location in the field, we see that a lot. And I've often thought, you know, his logo, the logo of CSETI, is a triangle or a pyramid. And actually, when I think of it, the logo of Dolphin Connection is also a triangle with a dolphin coming through the middle of it. So, you know, if you say, oh, well, this is just a coincidence, well, when it happens over and over, you have to give credence to it. So we see these triangle patterns, and what are they trying to tell us, you know? Well, back in 1984, I received a message from ETs about triangles and pyramids. And I was actually thinking of it yesterday when I was at Nassim's talk here on the island. And I looked up that message and I thought I'd share it today. It's in my book, Dolphin Connection, on page 109. So this is what the ETs said then about the shape of triangles or pyramids. We show you the form of the pyramid, which is inverted and extended. The perfection is in its peak. The completion on the physical plane is in its peak. In reality, the energy lines move out into infinity, although invisible to human eyes. At the apex, the lines cross each other and move from physical to ethereal, and yet just as significantly. Because all the universe is a gridwork of interconnecting diamonds, pyramids in all directions, those that are seen and those that are unseen. Realize that humans see but a small part of the complete pattern. Understand that this is so for many aspects of your life in the shadow world. The lines of your existence stretch out in many unseen directions and support you as you move through your planet. Earth is cradled in the grid lines of the unending diamonds. The form of the pyramid serves as a reminder of the knowledge of your higher selves, never to be forgotten while you live sleeping on planet Earth. So that's that piece of information about the pyramids and triangles. And again, we do see other shapes also. We had a sighting once during an ET seminar. This was in August of 2001. And we looked up and we saw a star formation in the sky that was a pentagram shape. And it was one of those instances that we've experienced a number of times where it doesn't move. The other stars in the sky continue to pass on by, so to speak. But this one just continued to apparently rotate with the Earth because it stayed right in place over us. And we watched it for most of the night, hovering above us. And we had a feeling that there was a message about it. We couldn't figure it out, and we just went into a contact space with the ETs. But it was a pentagram, and it was interesting that only after 9/11 happened, somebody in the group wrote to me and reminded me of that we had seen that in the sky, and we thought, whoa, maybe they were trying to tell us or let us know they knew something was about to occur. So on a number of occasions, I've seen a precise triangle in the sky that starts to move. Now, this is the whole triangle starts to move. There's like, if you look up, you see a slightly darker portion of the sky, and it's moving as one piece, a triangular shape. And this whole gigantic triangular pattern moving as one. So you see this up above you in the sky. And what I've come to understand is that apparently it is the underside of a ship. And the undersides of ships can reflect the actual star formations of the sky at night. Whatever is meant to be up there, according to all the charts, according to the time of year it is, the constellations that are meant to be there, the ship is able to outpicture that, or to have a perfect superimposition of the starry sky on their underside, the underside of the UFO. So I encourage people to look for that too, to look up and really look with your inner eye or notice if there is dark on dark, so to speak. We saw that again in the Dominican Republic. There was a huge ship out there once that was a fifth the size, it took up a fifth of the sky, one fifth the size of the sky. It was huge, and yet it was dark against dark. But we noticed that the lights that were encircling it were changing and moving and making different shapes. So this is something to really pay attention to and see if you can detect it. Again, the more you look, the more you will see. It also reminded me, because this is kind of a recent sighting I had, it reminded me of what I've seen in the ocean as well. But let me see, maybe I should mention that after we take a break then first?
Might be a good idea just to give people a chance to breathe through this. We'll be back in about two shakes of a lamb's tail. Just finishing up on this, getting ready for this meditation coming up, so hang in there. Thank you for tuning into this show. Dolphinville is being brought to you from photon.net, and we're welcoming a worldwide audience right now. In fact, I think we have a few galactic citizens who are listening into this broadcast. Little gremlin galactics, anyway, are playing around with some of the system. If you've had some interrupt, you'll be back. So hang in there with us. Joan, you were saying now some really cool stories, and I don't want to interrupt that. So
right. Oh, yeah, I was getting carried away here, I can tell. My goodness. We want to be sure, and I guess that was the ETs reminding us to come on, get on with the saying yes.
Yeah, well, the time is warping here.
I hope
you can stay with us. We're not under any gun here to go stop exactly at 6 o'clock. We may carry on over today. So just be mindful of that. So.
Yeah. I guess I'm aware that this is the last time I'll be on the broadcast for a few weeks anyway, so I'm getting all this stuff in, so bear with me. But I did want to mention a wonderful experience we have also in the ocean, because the two are side by side. You've got the sky and you have the experiences in the ocean. And it was a long time before I would share this information with people, because the ETs can disguise the ships, put a cover on them, or make them look like their environment. You can look till forever, and if they don't want you to see them, you can't. And so when I would look down in the water, and I know there's this one area where the dolphins swim regularly, and I think I've mentioned it before, they swim into this area and they totally disappear and they can't be seen again. And then it seems a new pod, a different group of dolphins, come out from this area. And the ETs have told me that they do have a vehicle and an underwater base in this location. And the thing is that the outside of this can be completely disguised to look like a coral reef, except in this case it's kind of far from shore. It's not really close to the rest of the coral reef. And at one time I used to bring people over to swim above it and to dive near it and things like that. But I decided to stop doing that because people were so affected by the energy field there that they would begin to hyperventilate. And this became kind of a safety concern for me, for them, and so I stopped doing that. But most of the people, even with that, they said they were so happy to be aware of the ship that was there and to make contact, and they just felt they were excited about it, and that's what was going on with their breathing. So last week here, my friend Lisa Denning, who's an excellent photographer, she took some more. I tell you, the ETs really take off their cloaking devices for her. She gets to see quite a few of the ships. And so she took a picture of a ship that is a black line ship, as they call it. And it doesn't look like our pre-programmed ideas of what a ship, kind of Hollywood style, is supposed to look like. But if you wanted to open etfriends.com, it's on there, etfriends.com, and under the section called Cloud Ships. And you'll see it there, and it looks like a thin, long line, very streamlined. And there are many people who have reported this type of ship. And what people have seen is that then this long, thin, streamlined ship can turn on its side, and then it looks very different. It then becomes a dome-shaped vehicle or a shiny silver metal object. And it's very large. And this one was seen in broad daylight. So also there are sometimes transparent ships that you can see right through them. And these can be a little difficult to spot because, of course, you see the sky through them or you see the ocean through them. But sometimes the sun is reflecting off of their side. And even though it's transparent, you see that reflection. And you're aware something is there.
Well, people have been responding all over the world, and they've been sending emails to you and me as well. And to, you know, generally speaking, people are saying yes to this proposal. We've received such wonderful emails from different people from, as I say, all over the planet right now. We had a bunch of them we were going to read right now, but since this is sort of carrying on and we kind of want to get ourselves into the meditation itself, just, you know, so many of them just said, I choose to say yes. That would be probably the most common response that we received. And many others have said, many of the ET communications have stretched my mind well beyond my imagination. And I think that's indicative of what Joan is trying to share here, for us to liquefy our thinking, become more flexible and more receptive to things that go beyond our limited scopes. Another one said, I've had so many touching and beautiful contacts with my galactic friends since saying yes. Their presence feels so deep and familiar to me, and my book project has blossomed into many more avenues because of this experience. So we're seeing kind of creative bursts of energy. We're seeing people who are opening up to new areas of themselves, and that's kind of exciting. And I think this is a healing process, to say yes to another sensibility, to a whole new way of thinking, is what we have to open ourselves up to. That's what it's about.
That's right. Yes, I really appreciate the emails that have come in and people just totally present in here and here with us today, too, all over the world. So we do want to move ahead for the meditation and just want to make sure everyone's clear about what we are doing in this meditation. We are answering the question that we have received from the star beings that says, do you wish that we show up? And then they say, in truth, your soul can be read by telepathy. You only need to clearly ask yourself this question and give your answer as clearly on your own or in a group as you wish. Just do it as if you were speaking to yourself, but thinking about the message. End quote. And when they said that, that's really, it's just one little sentence there, but it's really important. Because it's the way you would be truthful to yourself, with full awareness, telling the truth to yourself, and taking the significance of their message for you personally, so that you are feeling it and relating to it in a meaningful way. I know, like, when I'm communicating with the dolphins again, I remember my experiences with them, and the love fills my heart. And so we think about these ET beings who have been patiently standing by, helping us in so many ways that we don't even know about fully, and the love that I feel for them grows. And then this creates this electrical current to carry the transmission. This is what brings the message clearly to them. So this feeling of love and compassion is an essential part of the saying yes and meaning it. So, as they said, do you wish that we show up? And these mere few words have a powerful meaning.
I hope all of you have had the opportunity to look over and read that message as it's been broadcast. We're going to get ready now. I suggest that you take a bathroom break or whatever you need to do to get yourself totally relaxed. Get a blanket if you feel that you might want to wrap it around you. Joan usually lights a candle here in the studio, as she's doing right now, to set an intention and have a lighted space. She's also brought a special ET communication crystal with her. Do whatever you like to do to get into that space. We'll be back in a short time, probably 30 seconds to a minute, and we'll be ready to take you into the other realms. Situated by the computer in a comfortable way. Joan is going to take us, as she so beautifully does, into another realm of meditation. And so I ask you to perk up your attention and listen to your heart about saying yes. Joan, we're ready.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody out there. So, as we now prepare to meditate together and make contact with our ET friends, please do experience this meditation in whatever way is most comfortable for you. You may want to call in your guides. You may visualize the star beings as angels, however you see them, beings of light, ascended masters. You may want to call in all of those who are working with you, the Arcturians, the Pleiadians, whoever you know. And perhaps they will come to you as an energy field of higher consciousness. Whatever is your normal way of meditating, honor that. And with your inner voice, say the words and have the visions that are meaningful to you. And then release any expectations. Just let it go. And if you have truly decided to say yes, they will manifest their presence to you, either immediately or over the next days. The energy field of love that goes out to them tonight will be joyfully received as a sign of our willingness to proceed on our spiritual path. They will be in contact with you from this time on, in one way or another. So thank you for sharing this deep contact with me and all of us around the world. Thank you for joining together. And we will now meditate to say yes to our ET friends. So please close your eyes and become very quiet. Become aware of your breath. Breathe deeply, fully. Breathe gently. Continuing to breathe slowly and deeply. Feel yourself becoming more and more relaxed. Feel the breath of life moving throughout your body. More and more quiet. And focus now on your heart chakra. Your heart chakra. Become aware of a point of white light streaming from your heart. Breathe into that light and as you do, the light becomes brighter and brighter. And see the light of love shining from your heart. And now this light is expanding to fill your entire body with love. It is soft. Gentle. Healing. Warm. Breathe it in. You are now completely enclosed in a sphere of light. It is surrounding your body. A radiant, translucent, shimmering bubble, pure, shining, weightless, as you feel yourself floating, etheric, light. And you are now completely immersed in your own field of energy. The power of love. Ancient. Wise. Deep peace. Conscious, all-knowing, and you are now immersed in a sphere of divine light through which only the highest vibrations may enter. And feel your light body now ascending into a beam of light. Feel yourself moving, floating, spiraling round and round, upward, upward. Higher and higher into more and more light. Feel your love for the earth, for the ocean, your guides, and the dolphins. Feel deep within you your love for the ascended masters and all of those who carry the key to the higher realms of enlightenment. The angelic realms. And now feel your love for these special beings, these star beings within our universe, your relatives from many different planets and star systems, from many different patterns of light. All of the loving beings of interstellar awareness. And now acknowledge the love from them. The love from your guides. As you expand, opening to more and more love. And we now call upon Metatron, the one who initiates into light, the highest patterns of love, expanding into the universe, entering into the spiraling light pyramids of the greater universe. You are the portal. We are the portal of radiant light between the Earth and the other advanced beings of multiple solar systems. Linking now, linking to the highest spiritual planes, spiraling together. Spiraling. As Earth consciousness links with universal wisdom. Remembering. Our purpose, bringing love on Earth, bridges, catalysts, rays of light. And now in this very sacred space, we are ready to respond to these, our loving and spiritual friends of other light dimensions. Our friends, the star beings, the ETs. We ask that only the highest frequencies of love come now to the earth plane. We command that it be so. Lighter and lighter. Higher and higher. We are completely immersed in the light of love. And within this love, we say yes from our hearts in appreciation. From our highest selves, we say yes to our loving friends, asking them to make their presence known in our lives now and on Earth. So that we can walk side by side with them. For the good of the earth and all beings. For enlightenment. We say yes, heartfelt yes, yes. We joyfully welcome you. And so it is. And from this time forward, our ET friends will be with us equally, kindly, spiritually, lovingly. On the earth plane now, as we walk together in grace and return harmony and deep peace to earth in our mutual love for humanity. We have transcended the frequency that was the old Earth, and we now reside in the highest vibrations of Christed light. So be it. Feel the energy. Deep connection. So, in the days ahead, as the ETs continue to make personal contact with you, they will be contacting you in many different ways, and it may not be the way that you think. It will have more to do with feelings. They will manifest in many ways. And so please be open to those contacts. And take the time to meditate with them frequently now. To communicate. To learn about them. And to let them inspire you in your work and projects. And when you look up and you see a cloud ship in the sky, or when you feel the ET contact around you, please send them a nice hello. Acknowledge their presence. And they will send back to you a beam of light and love in recognition of who you are as a beautiful star being yourself. Our Earth is such a special planet. It has a tremendous biodiversity of forms, Its natural resources are unique in the universe and plentiful. It also has a wonderful genetic history of a great variety of interesting and special life forms. Many star beings are here, and we are so fortunate to live on this spinning sphere of light in our solar system. And always remember that the ETs tell us that this is a co-creation with them. And as we put our questions and ideas into a pool of possibilities, all of these possibilities coalesce and a new reality grows from the combined input from the ETs and us. And it is a reality we can never really completely see or comprehend in advance, because it is changing in every moment. And yet it's very important that you participate in the decision-making process, and that you enjoy the new reality that now unfolds, because we are all mutually enriched by each other's contributions. And it is truly a co-creation where all of our ideas are important. The star beings once showed me a picture of a wonderful cake. It was like a birthday cake. And they used it as an example. They said that putting all our ideas in a bowl together, we create a recipe for a delicious cake. Every ingredient, ours and theirs, is part of the finished product. And it was a reminder to me at that time that we're not to respond to them as gods, that we are participating equally with them in a co-creation of harmony and beauty on earth. And our knowledge, our wisdom and input is necessary and required. So, it has been wonderful to share this contact experience with you. Thanks for being there. I feel your energy so strongly. And I hope you will keep in contact. I would love to hear from you about your experiences if you have the time to write me. We have so many things in common to share. And I guess I'll see you in the ocean with the dolphins and the whales. I love you lots. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Well, I was out there. Felt that there was roosters crowing and dogs barking and geckos chirping and all kinds of signs of life beyond. It's been quite an adventure to go into these spaces with you. And again, I want to express my gratitude to you for being so generous with your time. And
thank you.
Having this opportunity to share this information, which I think is pertinent over and over again, as I've even gone back to listen to some of the earlier shows. It's not about the time of the show, it's about the time of the mind and where we're going with our consciousness. So I would encourage all of you to listen to these broadcasts at your leisure. And if you are with us today, know that we're going to continue with Dolphinville Radio. We will have another show next week, broadcast at the same time at 4 o'clock, and we'll be welcoming some more members of the community here. This is an amazing community, Dolphinville, and we have some very enlightened people and people who have been on their path for a number of years, and they have different modalities to share And I thought it would be appropriate to bring in Joseph Mina, who's we call lovingly the Star Man, and Joseph and his partner Catherine, Catherine Andern, have a dual presentation they do together. It's called Gemini Awakening. It's based on Joseph's understanding of Vedic astrology and combining with some of the insights he's gained from using the tarot deck, the Voyager card tarot decks. So I think it'll be real fascinating for everybody to check the Gemini Awakening of Joseph and Catherine next week. And I encourage you to show up and tune into that. We are wrapping up for this afternoon's program. And I wanted to thank Randy at Photon.net for being the amazing sponsor and operator again, keeping everything running as smoothly as possible, given the circumstances with the ETs hovering overhead and short-circuiting the high wires and the low wires. I'm really looking forward to having Joan back on the show. And Joan does this kind of work all year round. She's been sharing this information with people in seminars, and there is one this month. In fact, it opens this weekend. It's too late for that one, folks. You can't come. We will be commuting with the people, the star beings, up here at Sky Ranch, and that'll be something that we're all looking forward to. Joan is going to be going off into the Caribbean and commuting with the whales down there in the Dominican Republic, and has some exciting adventures down there. And when she comes back, I'm sure she'll be sharing some of that. And there is another extraterrestrial, if you will, workshop, Whales, Dolphins, and our ET friends, or extraterrestrials. That's scheduled for Joan here on the Big Island, March 13th through the 18th. So if this information is interesting to you, and you'd like to know what it feels like to be on the ocean with these incredible whales and dolphins, and also feeling the presence of the ETs, I would encourage you to consider that. Joan's website, joanocean.com, has a wealth of information, as does her etfriends.com network. So I would encourage you all to check that out. It's been an amazing trip these last 8 shows with Joan. And Dolphinville.com will continue to roll and keep those archives up for the members. It's free to be a member of Dolphinville.com. So please, stop on by. Say hi to the other members. Leave a message. Talk in the chat room. Randy and I will be here next week carrying on the information stream. So, again, thank you, Joan. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, listeners, for being with us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I would like to say a hearty thank you. Big wink to everybody out there. And this is Dolphinus saying be well and swim free. I'll see you next week.